Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And it's great to have the Major Billy Downer with us here on Sports Talk, the Citadel man that he is. And I just like to begin by updating a basketball score tonight for you, Major, knowing how you're tied into the Citadel sports scene. Citadel's playing Furman tonight, your bitter rivals up in Greenville. With 4:27 to go in the first half, Furman leads 56-21.
Well, I was afraid to even ask.
50.
I don't want to be a negative Nelly, but I'm Swanee. We've never been very good at basketball.
Well, there you had that time there with Les Robinson where you were pretty good, and also there are a couple of other moments. But my point is that Furman, with 4 minutes to go in the half, already has 56 points. What were they shooting, Pat? 81% from the floor? Amazing what they're doing.
Remember, there's a book by Pat Conway called My Losing Season.
Yeah.
It's about basketball.
Absolutely. Terrible. Maybe your most famous alum. Pat Conroy.
Yeah, probably is one of the most famous. You're correct.
Anyway, it's great.
Great
to have you with us. Hope things are going well for you and around the office there with the DNR folks as we've dug out of another little bit of snow last weekend. And our forecast looks what? Are we pretty good here moving forward the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think we're good the rest of the way. It looks like, I was trying to get us in on a weather little chat tonight. We're going to get that coming eventually, but yeah, Punxsutawney Phil apparently says 6 more weeks of winter, so there we go. That's the word I got, official.
Well, if it's a winter like we've been having, I'm not going to complain because it's been pretty fair for us. I know some parts of the state, I can't speak for them, some parts of the state have had some winter and had some issues with power and roads and things like that. But for the most part, of course, the interesting thing is this last storm that came through socked the coastal area and the eastern part of the state more than the rest, didn't it?
So it did go in the Horry County this last weekend. Kind of, the area that was supposed to get snow didn't get any.
Mm-hmm.
The York, Chester area up north, northern counties did not get anything. Again, York, Chester, Union got nothing. Sumter, Lee, the upper part of Sumter County, Lee County got some good snow over toward Clarendon County, the 95, and then on up a little bit got some snow. In fact, some folks in Clarendon County got more snow this last weekend than they did the week before. So it was hit and miss. You literally laugh when you get a forecast that says 0 to 100% chance of snow. What does that mean?
I don't know.
That's like hedging your bets. You're not going to lose. The weatherman's never going to be wrong when you do that. But, I mean, you really get nothing out of that.
Yeah.
0 to 100%. I was like, this is worthless to even put out there. 0 to 100%. But either way.
At least we're not in the Midwest, and I think the Southwest is getting hammered. Chris Bergen is with the Coastal basketball team, and they're in Arlington, Texas, and their game tomorrow night's been snowed out or iced out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got a bunch of stuff going on there. And I know up in Chicago, they're expecting 8 to 12 inches of snow up there. New York, I think, has had or is getting some more. So, thankful
sure.
for where we are and what we've got. What's going on out there in the outdoors? What kind of seasons are we into now?
So we had a dismal end to a dismal season for waterfowl on Monday. The season went out and just – it was past weekend. The season went out, and it was just a – there wasn't a whole lot of brightness mm-hmm. in it. It was bad. So we got a little cold weather here, but we didn't really get a big push of ducks. Again, like I've talked about, waterfowl seasons have been pretty dismal, pretty few and far between. Some people have had a few lucky shots here and there, but for the most part, a really slow season. This weekend and next weekend, I want to mention this, our federal youth days are this Saturday and next Saturday, two Saturdays in a row, the 5th and 12th of September. Legal species to hunt, ducks, geese, mergansers, coots, moorhens, and purple gallinules. Veterans and active duty military who hunt on these days also.
Did we lose Major? Stand by, Major. I think we lost your line there momentarily. We'll get you reconnected. DNR's Major Billy Downer, SC Wild, with us here on Sports Talk. We have a line that's apparently frozen up. Maybe it's gotten cold. See if we got the Major back with us. Hello, sir.
I'm back. Sorry.
Yep. That's cool. You're good.
This weekend, the 5th and 12th, is the Federal Youth Days. Again, ducks, geese, mergansers, coots, moorhens, gallinules, that's the whole thing. They're all legal for the 5th and 12th. Only hunters 17 of age or younger can hunt on these days, but they must be accompanied by a person at least 18 years of age. Youth who are 16 and 17 years of age who hunt on these days must possess a valid South Carolina hunting license, migratory bird permit, migratory waterfowl permit, and a valid federal waterfowl stamp. So your daily and possession limits still apply for those days. The limit for scalp is 2 on the youth day. But again, so youth days for 17 and under, if you're 16 and 17, you got to be fully licensed. Other than that, if you're 15 and under, don't have to have anything. Just go hunt. But you have to be accompanied by an adult at least 18 years of age. Now, here's the kicker. This started last year. Some people got a little confused on it. But these two dates are also veteran active duty military days. So veterans and active duty military can hunt on this Saturday and the following Saturday as well. They must possess a valid South Carolina hunting license, migratory bird permit, migratory waterfowl permit, and a valid federal waterfowl stamp. So they've got to be fully licensed, but they may hunt on the 5th and the 12th. So that's a little twist there, just a little thank you to the veterans out there that they can hunt on this day. So, again, a lot of people don't know about that. That happened, I think, last year, the first time it did it, and it kind of threw all of us for a loop. We didn't understand it. Nobody knew exactly who could hunt, but they certainly can. So that's this weekend, the 5th and the 12th, our Federal Youth Days and the Veteran Active Duty Military Days. So that's coming up.
Are these designated days that are something that have recently been put on the schedule?
No, so the youth days have always been there. The veterans hunt days have just been – that got changed last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the second year where they can go out and hunt, a veteran can go out and hunt that day, or an active duty military can go out and hunt that day. So we always ask people, people ask, well, what do I have to prove I'm a veteran? Well, a copy of your DD-214 or your active duty card for your base assignment would be required to show that you're active duty or a veteran.
Let me ask you this. This is SC Wild DNR with Major Billy Downer. You have a question or comment for the Major? You can reach us, 888-898-2525. That's our phone number, 888-898-2525. He's here to take your questions, comments about anything with DNR, anything with the great outdoors. As we're moving towards spring, I know around the state of South Carolina, there are a number of shows that will be coming up, things related to the outdoors, to boating, fishing, hunting, whatever else you can do in the outdoors that can be sold or put in an exhibit or a fair-type setting. I know we have the always fantastic Sportsman's Classic with put on by DNR coming up in March. What are some of the things with that we should be looking forward to, as well as some of the other festivals like that coming up around the state that you know about?
Well, I think one of the funny things I just heard today about the Classic is I'm learning there's a huge following now for Bowgator. One of our DNR officers began doing some outtakes on social media to promote boating safety.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Berkeley County, and he has got all that going for him. And he is from deep Berkeley County. Mm-hmm. And his nickname is Bowgator, and he has developed quite a following by tens of thousands following him on social media now, which has been interesting. It gives us an avenue to help people see some safety tidbits about boating safety as far as wearing your life jacket, PWCs, and just other items he's done. But it's been funny to watch. But I think Bowgator's going to be live at the Classic. Yeah, Bowgator's going to be
now,
there live at the Classic.
When you say deep Berkeley County, exactly where are you talking? That makes it sound like you're talking way back in the woods or something.
Oh, he's out in the woods for sure. Oh, yeah. He's out in the woods. And he has got a deep dirt Berkeley County draw for sure. Way more than a southern draw. And he's a lot of fun. Good, great officer, great guy. He's in our education section now. does a lot of good work, but he is getting quite the following, Bo Gator. So he will be at the Classic. You know, the state duck calling competition will be at the Classic also on Sunday of the Classic. That's always a hit in the youth, the junior duck calling championship. The winners of both of those will receive a lifetime hunting and fishing license.
Have you ever been a judge in a duck calling contest?
I have been a judge, and I have participated in the state.
Well, and I'm sure you have. I'm sure back in the day when you had the I mean, it looks like maybe you got in your own. Is that a talent that erodes over time?
If you don't use it, it sure does. You got to have lots of, and the older you get, the less wind you have. It takes a lot of wind and a lot of gut there to blow that out, blow that duck call to get the long, the high ball going. But yeah, I've never won a trophy in it. I've had fun doing it, met some good people. I did win a shotgun one time. That's my claim to fame. I won a shotgun one time.
Well, what separates a winner from the field?
So in a duck calling competition, it's simulating a duck hunt, and you're going to start off with a high ball toward those ducks coming to you from a distance, and it's going to transition down into the ducks come past you. They start to go away. You're going to do a comeback call to get them to turn around and come back. They come back in close. You start doing a feed call, and you're going to transition back into where you lay those ducks on the water. Basically, you set them on the water.
Mm-hmm.
So in your head, you kind of envision these ducks way off, and you're calling. They come to you. They pass. You call them back. They come around. You get them to set in and hit the water. There's a lot of different, a lot more to it as far as the finite pieces of a calling routine, and it does become more of a routine than real hunting. Because there are certain elements required by the judges so they can judge you. The high ball, feed call, a comeback call, a transition in there. So a couple different things in there, you know, make it fun. You can always add a little bit of your own to it, and that's what makes, you know, it an interesting contest, because somebody adds a little bit of a ducky sound to it, a little bit different, and sometimes the judge likes that, and that'll help them out. But sometimes it just... it's all about that high ball and how long you can blow it and how loud you can blow it. So they want to hear that high ball go out and extend for a while and at least 16 to 20 notes, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
But that will be the Sunday, the last Sunday of the Classic, both the state duck calling competition and the junior state duck calling competition. So to be in the junior, you have to be 16 or under.
I got to believe that attracts quite the crowd and quite the following when they put it on.
It has in the past. You know, it's gone down over the years, but it's coming back now. So we're happy to have that at the Classic. The State Duck Calling Committee placing it there. Harry Hampton's sponsoring that. They're the ones, the Hampton Wildlife Fund is sponsoring the lifetime license for it. So it really makes it a little bit more of a competition, a little fun, because, I mean, you know, when you can win a lifetime hunting and fishing license, is worth it. So we're hoping to see a little bit more of a turnout. And now that COVID's over, you know, the Classic's been off for 2 years, and we hated that. I mean, that's our big time to really show off the department and just really enjoy seeing the public in a fun atmosphere. And then chance for the public to buy all sorts of nice, you know, hunting gear, fishing gear, boats, you name it. And it just, with COVID, it just knocked it out. And we're glad to see it coming back this year. Hope COVID will continue to slow down so that folks can come in and enjoy the Classic after a two-year hiatus,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah. What are some of the other weekends that are coming up over the next few weeks, months, that you might know about along the same, maybe not as grand, not as large as the Classic, but, you know, they're nice in their own right?
Well, I'm trying to look right now. The Charleston Boat Show comes up pretty soon. I'm trying to think... When is the Charleston Boat Show? I'm trying to see when it comes up. It's coming up, this month, January 28th through 30th.
Mm-hmm.
That just happened this past weekend, so I missed that. Sorry. That was this past weekend. But then we got SeaWee is coming up this month after Valentine's Day. It's always generally on Valentine's Day weekend. But the Southeastern Wildlife Expedition is a huge event in Charleston. Thousands upon thousands of people go to that.
Yeah. How involved is DNR in that?
So we've got exhibits all across Charleston. Mostly we're at Brittlebank Park. It's the February 17th through the 20th. And that's at Brittlebank Park, where we are what they call the Conservation Well, we're in two places. I'm sorry. We're at Brittle Bank Park, and we're at Marion Square in the Conservation Village. The Conservation Village, where they have, like, our exhibits, our different parts of our department. But at Brittle Bank Park, we have our heritage trailer with the kind of rolling history of wildlife conservation in South Carolina. It'll have the number five white-tailed deer ever taken in the state, the fifth largest in the state in there, as well as the stories about how white-tailed deer were reintroduced in the state, the black bear, and the wild turkey. So it's a pretty neat trailer. That's the heritage trailer. And that'll be at Brittle Bank Park over there across Lockwood Avenue, across from the police station. That's also where they do the air dog competition, the dock dog, and they do some retriever demonstrations over there, and all of your guides and so forth and outfitters are there as well. A couple of different, you know, outdoor vendors are there. But again, that's at Brittle Bank Park. But at Marion Square downtown under the Conservation Village is where a lot of DNR exhibits will be. You can go there to see our aquatic, you know, education, our aquatic programs, our officer association will be there, man in booths as well, and that's downtown at Marion Square. Of course, the artwork's all throughout the town, throughout the hotel, spread out through Charleston. So for more of that, you know, go to Seaweed. Basically, you go to Southeastern Wildlife Exposition or seaweed.com, S-E-W-E, to find out the schedule and events that are coming up for Charleston. But that's always a big show. Again, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's over 40,000 people show up in Charleston, probably more than that.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So
a lot of money changed hands there, right, with the purchasing of the pictures and products and things like that. It's a big money-making venture.
There's a lot of artwork there, for sure. Downtown at the Omni or at Charleston Place, there they have the huge ballroom full of artwork, anything from, just you name it, the artists in there, all different types of art, different styles of art, wildlife, fish, exotic wildlife from across the world, African game, you name it, birds, birding pictures, lots of pictures there, different paintings, prints. Both print and originals are available, and so that's in Charleston Place in the main ballroom there. There'll be some antique, that's always antique firearms there as well as the display there. And the Gill Yard is where they do some of the different, like, knives. A lot of the knife vendors will be there. A couple of gun vendors will be there. Some really neat arts and crafts type will be at the Gill Yard as well. So that's kind of the place to be in 2 weeks down in Charleston. It'll be busy. It'll be hard to find. You won't be able to find a hotel this time, I can promise you that.
And if you can find one, it's probably going to be a little pricey. Yep. I'll repeat that. If you can find one, it's probably going to be a little pricey.
Yes, it's going to be pretty pricey. Yes, it'll probably be pretty pricey at this point, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
but Seaweed's probably the biggest event between now and the Classic. Again, I missed the Charleston Boat Show. That was this past weekend, but that's always in the end of January. I forget that, somewhere right there in the end of January, 1st of February.
Mm-hmm.
If you have never seen the air dog or the dock dog competition at Brittle Bank, that's a lot of fun.
Now, what is that?
To watch the dogs. So that's when the dogs, you get an owner or a handler, and they take the dog and run them down basically a runway. And they jump into a pool of water with a measurement throughout the pool, and they basically judge dogs on how far those dogs can jump off the dock or off the ramp. It's called the dock dog competition. It's a lot of fun, and that's at Brittle Bank Park as well. That's on the website. You can see that right there. But, you get dogs that jump, well over 20 feet. Pretty amazing.
So,
in the air, straight out.
I mean, like, how far of a running start do they get before they have to jump?
I can't remember exactly how far it is. It's not far, Phil. I mean, it's not, but about probably no more than 20 to 30 feet, maybe, at the most, on the runway. Maybe 30 feet on the runway, 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times what they train them to do, they take a dummy or a toy or something, a ball, and they run with one of them, and they throw it up in the air, and the dog jumps in the air to get to the ball, and that's what helps them really get some hair to get out there. But these dogs train on this, man. Some dogs just really have a natural ability to jump far. So it's a lot of fun. I'm looking online right now, and the end of the pool is like 35, 37 feet. which is unbelievable.
Which breed does the best? Which breed has the greatest spring?
You know, it used to be a lab-driven competition, Labrador Retrievers, but there are all sorts of dogs that jump now. It doesn't matter. There's all sorts of dogs that jump. Even mixed breeds that jump.
Well, I imagine, like, a poodle can't jump very far.
No, but I've seen, I think some shepherds I've seen doing it now, shepherd mixes. But it was predominantly labs for a long time. But there are different breeds in it now, or smaller dogs that are jumping. They got a little spring in their step, so to speak. So, yeah.
Do the people really get into it, the owners and the viewers, the Walker buys who stop and watch?
They do. It's a lot of fun to watch that. You know, that was kind of the dog gets a lot of attention at Brittle Bank. They got the retriever demonstrations also down there that are pretty popular as well. And then, you know, if you're looking for a good hunting trip, going through the outfitter tent is pretty neat there at Brittle Bank. There's a lot of outfitters from across the country and also across the world. You got African hunts. You've got South American hunts to do doves and waterfowl. You've got out west, you know, mule deer, you name it, different types of hunts available. So it's pretty neat to go through the outfitter tent and just see some of those offerings that are there, as well as a few, you know, duck calls, vendors are there, turkey call vendors, because turkey season's right around the corner. So that's the next thing you're going to hear the most of at the Classic and Seaweed. You'll hear turkey calls coming out of there.
And Corn, believe it or not, you could take Winnie down there to compete in the Doc Dogs if you'd like. My old Fox Red Lab Yeller, we used to compete every year in there.
Old Yeller?
Absolutely. Old Yeller, he absolutely loved it and would compete each spring down there at Brittle Bank Park. It's a lot of fun. Seaweed Festival, I promise you, anybody out there that has any remote interest in the outdoors, you will find plenty to do, even if you just make a day trip down to Charleston. It's well worth it.
And bring your dog, because everybody does.
That's right.
That's great. That's great. All right, some final thoughts from you, our last 90 seconds. What words of wisdom do you want to share?
Well, you know, again, there's still hunting seasons going on. You got quail out there. You know, dove just finished up here. But quail's open. You got rabbit season still going in, and you've got coon season. If you're out there hunting, just make sure that you know where your others in your party are hunting, know where to swing your gun, and you'll keep in your safe zone of fire. So we can all be safe out there.
Those are great words. Major, as always, we've enjoyed it. Have yourself a great couple of weeks, and we'll catch back up with you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. All right. Major Billy Downer from DNR, another edition of SC Wild here on Sports Talk in the books. And make your plans to get to those events, those festivals. Sounds like a lot of fun, and I know that you will enjoy it.